This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 372. You're just now hearing it. Alright, this is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best girl gaming, tech gadget and anime podcast. I'm Siri, and I'm sitting in this week for Ninja Sister and Pandalicious. Welcome to a new episode of our weekly podcast. We have a special episode for you this week, as we present clips from the cutting room floor. In some episodes, the sisters tend to run their mouths a little long, and these clips are lost in the effort to make the show run on time. So enjoy this episode, direct from our cutting room floor to your little ears. Last week, we reviewed the 9 films nominated for Best Picture at the Academy Awards. However, calling up all those trailers was a drag on our internet bandwidth and caused delays like this one.
Look,
we got a lot of things going on the internet right now.
That's true.
We're recording, we're streaming and recording on 2 different machines, on my bandwidths.
I understand.
There are iPads everywhere, they're doing shit.
Something's
backing up right now. Something in my house is backing up right this minute.
Backing up. Because my program told me to.
I'm backing up on all the files. So I don't have corruption.
Actually, that'd be a really good one.
What?
A spoof on a spoof. What is a spoof on a spoof?
Spoof?
It's not enough just to win an Oscar anymore. Some people aspire to winning an EGOT, an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony.
You know, it takes a lot to get an EGOT.
I want an EGOT. Look, if you're going to do it to EGOT.
Adele is very close to an EGOT now.
Adele is now very close to an EGOT. She just needs a Tony.
Yes, she needs a Tony. So she needs to hit Broadway and she could get an EGOT.
What she needs to do, to make it happen, is someone needs to do Skyfall
as a play.
And it's done.
But, maybe.
Yep. Because then Adele won her song, is an EGOT song, and it will be for...
Yeah, but would...
It's a piece that's composed
for... But who would they have perform it in the play, though, because...
Adele. It would be the opening overture, so she could just pop out and sing it. You don't have to be
I'm just saying, because...
sing the opening.
Well, I'm just saying, everybody who's won a Tony...
She could win a Tony for composing.
Yeah, so she'd have to compose.
Oh! What does Adele do, Panda?
Compose.
Thank you. Sing.
Wow, I can't believe we did that.
Yeah, we did.
I feel some shame. For the first time in 2014, Pandalicious is feeling a smidge of shame.
EGOT now.
What does Adele do? Anyway.
The sisters also discussed why the movie, 12 Years a Slave, was not a date movie.
12 Years a Slave is a movie about black people.
Yes.
Okay. A lot of white people saw that movie. More black people should have seen that movie.
I almost saw that movie. It was up for option for a second date. It was between Thor 2 and 12 Years a Slave.
And you picked Thor 2.
And I stopped at certain male fella and I'm like, I appreciate that you want to have this moment with me.
Yeah, 12 Years a Slave should not be a date movie.
It's second date.
Guys. Can I just interrupt here for a second?
Like,
I love you all, and I love that you're trying to show some initiative here, but 12 Years a Slave
is not a movie you bring the girl that you're dating
on your second
date. That's a lot of heady material. That could lead to some problems. So we went with Thor 2, which I think was the better choice.
You guys made the right choice.
I wanted to see 12 Years a Slave, but I was kind of worried that I was going to feel a lot of feels, so I'm waiting for it to, you know, hit DVDs or, you know, streaming medias.
Well,
when I could absorb it and take it and have a panda experience.
Right.
So
I don't know exactly what a panda experience is.
Because usually,
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
It involves mayonnaise.
I didn't want to know.
Miracle Whip.
Oh!
I'm just kidding.
You know what? You're making even it worse. Better. Panda,
let's,
you're making it worse.
Let's get on
Panda,
with our show.
So,
this segment, from episode 363, answers the question, where does your thumb go when you're not using it?
But before we do that, Panda!
Yeah?
Where's your iPad of truth to go over the question of the week?
Is not here.
Yeah! I noticed that, because we put out a question.
I know, about our favorite downloadable contents.
Yeah! And people, like, answered it. And you're supposed to present those answers.
I know,
now.
But my iPad, it died. It's sleepy.
In this section of the show, so...
Well, I was figuring that we'd give people additional time, because with the next show that we release, we're not doing a question, because it's the holidays!
So what that means is, Pandalicious did not do her homework yet again. Because outside of your iPad, Panda, there's also computers and internet and other people with iPads that have access to our Twitter streams and paper.
Well, do you have yours?
So that you could have looked it up. Well, see, I don't have the answer to this question because this isn't my segment of the show.
I know.
Or responsibility?
I know. That was my intention. I was planning on holding it out and giving everybody 2 weeks to comply so we have a whole lot of answers.
Maybe you communicate that with me so that when I say, all right, question of the week time.
And then I'm like, what?
I'm not like sitting here with my thumb up my butt going,
well, I didn't tell you to put it in your butt.
Whoa, where do you think it goes when I don't know what to do with it?
I put my thumbs in my lap.
Well, that's one way of doing it. So, yeah, there's that, and, okay, so I guess we're not doing questions.
No, because
right
we're going to do it when we come back from the holidays.
Right, and you think people are going to remember that after holidays?
I'm going to push it through the social media channel,
really?
So they will.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
I have it on my calendar.
Oh, okay, so...
It's gonna happen.
Right. Because...
A lot.
Everything that's on your calendar happens.
Most of the things on my calendar
Yeah,
happen.
See?
But I put it in red bold so I can see it over everything else.
Uh-huh.
So if anything else doesn't get done, it can be blamed on the fact that I bolded and redded my Esh question.
Really? Piece. Really? That's what...
I'm sticking to it.
That's what you're going with?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yee.
I wouldn't hang my hat on that.
I'm not wearing a hat.
Touche. So, since we have no Esh question,
we get right into the episode. Yay!
Because that...
And we got a lot to talk about, so we should just get into the meat and potatoes of the episode here.
Yeah, and that's just Panda once again trying to cover her ass.
This clip, from episode 362. Discusses a movie the sisters have been looking forward to for a long time.
So, you know, what movie did you want to talk about?
Okay, so, Maleficent.
Okay.
Have to talk about this. Because we have, on podcasts before, talked about Maleficent. I feel that Maleficent, in the Disney movies...
Got a raw deal.
Okay, not like the Grimm's tales. Okay.
Oh, because the one in Grimm, she kind of deserved it. She did. Okay. Here's a soapbox.
But the Disney Maleficent is one of, I feel, the most misunderstood villains to become a quote-unquote villain in a Disney movie. Because Maleficent, to me, in the Disney movie Sleeping Beauty, basically just goes on a bitch fist because she didn't get invited to the party. Okay, like, that's where the whole thing started. The king and the queen invite everybody in the fucking kingdom.
Like, even the poor people that they know are only going for the food.
Okay, the fucking mice, for crying out loud, are invited.
Invite the sea rats!
Okay, to celebrate the birth of their daughter, Aurora. And they don't invite Maleficent. And she finds out about it and shows up like, oh, I see you having a party and you didn't invite me.
What's going on here? Everyone from the kingdom is here. Not everybody.
No, everybody's here. So since everybody's giving this beautiful baby a gift, I'm going to give her a gift too, motherfuckers.
Because the real mean girl.
Because you didn't invite her.
Okay, I'm gonna kill her.
So she puts on a curse that, like, is supposed to kill her. And the fairies, you know, fix it so at least it'll just put her to sleep. And they try to take her away and all that kind of stuff. Okay. And then hilarity ensues, or, you know, sadness.
Once upon a dream happens. Okay. And then she meets Philip and love happens.
Goes and fucking kills Maleficent. Who, by the way, like, when Beauty fell asleep, wasn't like she chucked her in a river to die.
She put her in the highest tower
and let her just sleep in the tower. Like, if she wanted to kill her, she could have been like, hey, look, the bitch is asleep. Let me just drop her in the moat. She had a moat.
I know.
With fucking gators in it and shit. She could have killed her.
She could have just slit her
throat. But she didn't. She put her in a room. She gave her blankets so she could be warm and shit. And, yeah.
And she let her sleep beautifully.
Yeah. Okay? Like, that was the thing. She's just going to stay with me and sleep it out because fuck all you guys. Okay? And then Prince Philip has to come and be like,
I'm going to get my bitch. And beat the bricket up with his sword.
And then before Maleficent even goes ape, she throws up, like, thickets and thorns to keep him away. Like, back up, bitch.
Like, look.
You don't want any of this. Just leave it be, and we're good.
Like, if you turn around and walk away, you can live a happy life.
Philip trespasses on her property, destroys her fucking thicket. So then Maleficent gets pissed.
Because, I mean, it took her a while to grow those thickets.
It's magic. That shit has a cost. And then turns into a dragon to take out Philip, and he fucking kills her.
He stabs her in her dragon heart.
Okay,
Aragorn would have been so sad.
So sad. So, I feel like Maleficent given a raw deal. Now, present day, I'm on the internet, typity-typity-typity, going around the internet, looking at pictures of cats and whatever.
Because that's what she does.
It's what I do sometimes. And then I come across Disney's Maleficent trailer. Now, I remember hearing murmurs about them doing a Maleficent movie, and Angelina Jolie wasn't going to be in it, and I was like, oh, that's going to be stupid. But then I saw the trailer, guys.
You saw the trailer?
I saw the trailer, guys.
Okay, I haven't seen it yet, so.
Oh, you need to see it. All right, so I watched the trailer. Number one, Angelina Jolie.
Best Maleficent ever.
No, seriously, I don't know about best, because, you know, we haven't had a lot of live action. But, Disney, live action Maleficent movie. Angelina Jolie looks fucking awesome.
Hashtag best first attempt at Maleficent ever.
As Maleficent. Her eye color is right. Her stature is right. You know, the bony pieces of her face, because it looks like she lost a little bit of weight.
So I'm sure she did for this role.
So her cheekbones are very prominent. She's just the perfect stature of Maleficent. And I'm really excited to see what this Maleficent is like, because in this movie, very much kind of like in the take on Wicked and getting to
understand. We're
going to
see Maleficent before she goes evil?
Not so much before, but understand that she's not really evil. Like, what the trailer hints at is that Sleeping Beauty, Aurora, is aware that somebody's watching over her. You know, because she's out in the forest and things like that. And she knows that there's somebody that's keeping tabs on her. And she can't figure it out. And so she finally just is like, look, I know you're there. Come out. And Maleficent starts talking to her from inside the forest. And is like, you'll be scared of me if I come out of the thicket. And she's like, no, just come out. Let me see you. And so she steps out. And so I feel like it's going to be much more of understanding Maleficent and that evil isn't always purely evil.
Okay.
Kind of like in Oz, how they portrayed
the Elphaba.
Wicked, yes, becoming wicked because of James Franco, basically.
Well, wait. Are you talking Oz?
Yes, Oz the Great
Okay, Powerful. So then you're not talking wicked.
So I'm not talking wicked. I'm talking Oz okay. Great Powerful. But I feel like this story is going to be more about, really and truly, understanding Maleficent than really the whole Aurora story. And I'm really excited about that.
I feel like since Disney has decided to, you know, buy Marvel, I feel like
they're... Not decided to buy, they own it.
Well, when they decided to buy Marvel and then they went and they bought Marvel, I feel like, you know, with that, and then also, you know, buying, you know, Star Wars and stuff.
Lucasfilm.
You know, I feel like they are sitting there going, you know, we can still have this wholesome, you know, keep our brand, you know, innocent.
But here's the thing.
And be able to play with darker
storylines. But that's the thing. Is like, I don't feel like Maleficent is going to be the typical Disney fairy tale. I feel like with Pixar, they have the, okay, so the Pixar stuff that we do is light and witty and family and bright.
Whoa, and until you get to Up, where we're like, we're going to hit you with some so much sadness.
Up is
what we want you to feel at the end of this movie, because we're going to get you so down.
Every time I watch Up, that fucking montage makes me cry. And that's the mark of a great story, because I've seen that movie like 7 times. And still, every time that montage starts, and I know where it's gonna go, I cry like a little bitch. But anyway, I feel like with Pixar, they have their white, fun, family, bright,
epic
arm.
Turbo!
Of Disney.
Wait, that's DreamWorks.
DreamWorks. Don't get it twisted.
Sorry.
Then you have, with the live action studio, you now have the more mature stuff because they do have the Marvel thing. So I think there's the next Avengers movie will be not Disney. And then you're probably going to see a whole revamp of the Marvel heroes because Disney...
I mean, Thor 2 really kind of sets a bar, man.
Okay, but Disney didn't have anything to do with that.
I know, but so, I just wanted to talk about Thor 2 because that's not Thor 2.
So I feel like they then have their... Okay, and this is how we reach young males and couples going out with action stuff and live action things. And then they have, like, you know, this darker twist. You know, I feel like Maleficent is very much going to be... like, not so much Oz the Great and Powerful, but the Alice in Wonderland that Tim Burton did.
I think we're gonna flip, like, if this was a chessboard, we're gonna flip the chessboard now, and we're gonna see it from her perspective. And that's what we're getting. We're getting a character study piece.
And I'm interested here in that, because, you know, of all the stories, fairy tales that Disney picked up from the Grimm's tales and made happier because, frankly...
I mean, Grimm was kind of grim for a reason.
Okay, they made all of the Grimm's tales that they touched happier.
They're like, you know what? No, Snow White...
Because let's not forget that the queen was forced to dance in...
Red and iron shoes that were heated so that they looked red.
Until she died. Okay, so...
That was Snow White, wasn't it?
Yes, that was Snow White.
And they made her dance at the wedding. Like, yes.
in red cast iron, because they were hot shoes until she died.
Yep.
It's kind of cruel. I mean, yes, she did want her heart cut out.
But still. She had it coming.
I mean, but still, though, that's kind of cold.
And I mean, I think, you know, Ursula also, maybe a little...
Oh, Ursula was made much nicer... Much nicer.
Well, I mean, because in the original Little Mermaid, Ariel doesn't succeed. She fails.
She becomes seafoam.
Like, there's no, oh, yeah, I get to, no.
Yeah, no, there's no Ariel babies with the prince. She fails.
That young 16-year-old teenager completely and utterly fails.
Turns to seafoam.
And that's it. That's how that goes.
Happy ending. Nope.
Cinderella, Prince Charming, turned out to be gay.
And turned out to be gay.
He's totally gay.
Stop it. There's nothing wrong with that. Not in the Grimm tale.
True.
That was on that thing you watched on Logo.
It's like, he is fabulous. Anyway.
And not for you. So, I'm really interested in seeing Maleficent. I've already told a couple of my friends that, like, our friendship will be over if we don't go see this movie together. Because I feel like it's definitely an avenue that Disney needs to go down, because there are so many of us that grew up on those Disney fairy tales that it makes sense to explore some of these characters on the other side.
Yep.
And I think that it makes sense to do it in a much more mature way and do it as a live action. You know, like, I would frankly love, you know, after Maleficent, to have something on Jafar, because I feel like Jafar is one of those Disney villains that we never really got to understand.
Well, then maybe you should watch Once Upon a Time in Wonderland.
No, I can't. I can't bring myself to do it.
I can't either.
I try.
Everyone keeps telling me that. I'm like, I have a problem with Alice. I have a problem with Alice falling in love with the genie from Aladdin. I do. I know. Robin Williams and Alice were never meant to be.
You don't know
that.
No matter how hot
you make the genie and how blah you make Alice, because Alice isn't even fucking blonde. She's not blonde. She's like, sun-kissed, blah, blah, blah. No. No.
But how do you really feel about it, Panda?
Bad, ABC. Bad. You are bad. Stop fucking up shit. Stop it.
Hashtag real truth.
Take Once Upon a Time, mix it in a blender with Grimm, give us Fables.
And just leave it
like that. Yep. Or you know what?
Just get out of it completely.
Go talk to...
NBC did it with Heroes.
Go talk to Telltale Games.
Oh, yeah. Talk to Telltale. They can help
you
out.
They can help you.
Yeah, they can totally help you, dude.
And make Fables its own thing.
Yep.
Like, just do it.
Yep. Just...
Because what's going to happen now is what... You know what we're going to get? They're going to go, you know what?
Misfits?
We like... Oh, God, no. No, they need to leave... Well, actually, technically, after season 4, I couldn't get into Misfits anymore because the original cast was gone. But that's a detraction. But... Since they like to go and air in the whole comic booky thing, because you know Disney, Marvel, comics—they think this is a good trend. If they go near Saga, I'm going to go to ABC. I'm going to find their building, and I'm going to have several
they go
big
near Saga.
I feel like we're trending more mysticism and sci-fi, so they're gonna. I feel like they're gonna pluck something out of the air and go, you know what? We can do that.
No, they're not gonna pluck something out of the air. Do you want to know what's gonna happen?
Because if they touch Saga, I'm going to kill somebody.
No, they have Marvel, right? That's their thing. They have Marvel. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is doing very well.
Good.
So you know what's going to happen. We're going to get an X-Men series.
No!
Yep.
No!
It's going to happen. And
no!
You pull out every strand of
No, ABC! No!
Yes.
No X-Men!
Yes.
No! Leave them alone! We're already getting another movie that's all Wolverine-centric. No! No!
But there's a reason why Days of Future Past has to be Wolverine centric.
I know, there's logic, but it's still not right.
I'm Panda.
You know what they need to bring back? Dinosaurs.
I'm the baby, gotta love me.
They have to bring back dinosaurs.
No, they don't.
They should just revive it.
Nope.
Or reboot. Reboot back.
Look, Panda, we've been crying about reboot.
We're getting a Girl Meets World. We're getting a Boys Meet World in the future now with Topanga and Corey married with their kid who's a chick now. So now it's going to be all chick-centric. No! 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 No!
Will you stop spanking ABC? They're just trying to make some money.
I'm so mad.
I know.
No!
I know.
In November, Mayor Young came on the show to talk about this game. We're sorry it took so long to finally get aired.
It's sad because I think the last time I was on ESH, I think I was talking about this then too. But XCOM, Enemy Unknown.
No, that's cool. That's cool.
Actually, I do think that was what he was
thinking. I do think that's what you were dating last time, though.
Yeah.
Let's check the archive.
Let me tell you, though. The reason is, like I said to you guys earlier, when the next iteration comes, I like to make sure I kind of finish up a game.
Yep.
And XCOM is getting ready to release a major expansion. If you're a PC XCOM gamer, you can pay and get the expansion. But if you're a console XCOM Enemy Unknown gamer like myself, they're actually releasing another version of the game called XCOM Enemy Within.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It has like all of the. It's basically everything that came with the original version, plus all of the DLC that's come out thus far, plus this major expansion that has genetic manipulation, and it has mechs, and it has a new like before it was just you versus the aliens. Now they're adding another paramilitary group that is actually humans, but they are working towards the aliens' goals. And so it's like all this new awesome stuff. And so for that reason, I've been playing XCOM semi-regularly, but I've been really on it lately, like this week. I messed around and was up till 6 a.m. one night just playing XCOM, and I was like, oh my god, it's 6 o'clock, I gotta go to bed. And
get up in 10 minutes.
Yeah, luckily it was like, you know, because the time changed, it wasn't light outside yet, so I think I felt okay. But I was just, oh man, I love that game so much. It's so much fun, and I'm ready to kick more alien ass.
See, and while he said that, all I thought was Attack on Titan in space with mechas. Because there are titans within the walls now. Woo! Why do I think you haven't thought that? My God. That's awesome. What I thought. I'm like, oh crap, it's become Attack on Titan in space with mechas. Space Titans!
In October, we talked about the game, Beyond Two Souls. Here's an excerpt that was never aired.
Nope, and he's like, oh, yeah! And then you hear snap.
Oh,
that's it.
Oh.
They're like peeling him like a banana.
No.
Cracking him like a nut.
No. Mr. Joel is so not
I don't know if we're going to encounter any other...
Of course you are. You can't just... That can't just be it.
I mean, I can't imagine how else they could... But that doesn't mean that I won't have it in store, but... Those are my experiences in Last of Us right now. I have not plugged in my keys yet for the multiplayer experience. From the gameplay that I saw, though, it looks very similar to how it works in Uncharted, except, you know, when you're playing a match mode, it's really one against all, and you're fighting not only other players, but you're playing
AI.
Infecteds also. So it's not like a team, like there might be one team of three and they're fighting another team of three and they're also fighting infecteds on top of that.
Wow.
So it's very, very much like the game itself. It's pretty much every team member for themselves, which it should be in this type of game, I think.
It is about being the last of us.
Exactly. And they've done a tremendous job on that. And the soundtrack system, I think the music accompaniments, because I wouldn't even say that it's fully like an orchestral whatever, but it's very, the tones are very deliberate. Any cues that are musical are very simple, and you need to learn them. You need to, because there's no do-over. There's no whoops, because once you whoops, now everyone's on to you, and you're fucked.
Yeah. You're dead, people in your party are dead.
Ellie's been shot like 8 times. Get used to your shots. I would say, in terms of flaws, though, because there's some small hiccups.
I think I know what you're going to talk about, and I don't think it's so much a flaw as much as deliberately making things difficult.
Oh, no. No, I was actually not going to talk about that, because there's this one gun that has a horrible lean on it, and it's a sniper rifle, and I'm usually
ready. Because you're nervous.
Because you're nervous about what's happening. But that's not what I was going to talk about.
Okay.
So in certain areas, I've noticed, because I went to the approach of clearing out entire buildings so that I could salvage everything in the building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's how you power up your ability to craft things and how you level yourself up.
And how we're leveling your gear up.
Yeah, and all that stuff. That's how you do it, is by salvaging everything you possibly can.
Pieces and parts in order to craft new things or upgrade existing ones.
Yes. And I went through this whole building, and I went through 3 floors. And it took me a bit to get my pattern, but I got it. And when I cleared the whole room, those small little bump, bump, bumps of tension, they went away, so I knew that the area was clean. But then just to make sure, to double check and triple check and quadruple check, I would listen, and I would see an AI roaming on the floor below me. So I'd go back downstairs to go clear him out, and when I went and listened again, that same dude would be walking the opposite direction on the top floor. So I don't know if that was an intentional you're never alone deal, because I feel like you should encounter them if they're still present. But I noticed that that will happen. And also sometimes the aiming mechanism on a gun, you're on the AI and you shoot and it still doesn't affect them. There were several invisible penetrating bullets that I didn't understand, but I'll let that go because they're not deal breakers for me, but they're just...
And you know, there were a couple of bugs when the game was released and patches that have already gone out to fix some things, so those may be leftovers from the first patching. I mean, there's probably going to be a bunch of patches. I mean, do you remember all the patches that there were for Uncharted 3?
Yeah.
You know, so it's bullet trajectory stuff is probably some of the more difficult things to nail all the time.
So, I mean, like I said, they're not deal breakers, but they're definitely someone that if you have a careful eye, you're going to notice them.
Right.
And you're always going to feel, especially with the wandering, disappearing, reappearing bad guy, if you know, you fucked up somewhere or you weren't thorough enough. And that's not, I know I cleared out the area purposely. I knew it. So I didn't know why that was happening. So, I mean, always be cautious, obviously. But ABK, always be killing.
Always be killing.
ABK, ABK, always on the grind for killing. ABK.
I'm going to get a tattoo of that now.
ABK all day.
All day, every day. But yeah, that's my experience so far. I think the next time I talk about Last of Us, I'll probably talk about the multiplayer experience because I'm so on that one. Like, that's got me all over it.
Basically, what we're saying, guys, is that we love Last of Us. We love the story.
Yep.
We love the gameplay.
Yep.
We think that Naughty Dog has done a fantastic job with this game.
And I hate clickers.
Clickers are horrible.
Clickers suck.
If you are sitting on the fence before about this game, get off the fence. Get it.
Because it's probably hurting your ball sack.
It more than likely at this point has punctured your nads. And you should consult a physician quickly.
You should get NARD band-aids. NARD AIDS.
Before you bleed out.
Not NARD AIDS, but AIDS for your NARD.
You should just stop, Panda, at this point. You should just
I just wanted to make things clear.
You're just making it worse.
Like gauze for your ball.
Could you just let that go? Could we just...
So they can breathe.
Hey.
I'm done.
Protect your balls. All right? That's all we're saying. And if you don't have balls, seriously, get off the fence. You won't be able to have children. Get the game. It is absolutely worth it. And as you well know, I don't do survival horror. This is not survival horror.
It's definitely survival.
It's survival, but it's not survival horror. It is a fantastic story. It looks fantastic. The voice acting is some of the best voice acting that I've seen in a while. But Naughty Dog never plays when it comes to their action titles and their voice acting. And it delivers. If you enjoy great story and good gameplay, you need to play Last of Us. If you don't play games for the story because you're not looking to be entertained in that way, don't pick it up. This game is not for you. And guess what? A bunch of games that are about to come out, they're not going to be for you either. So you might want to find another hobby. Because...
like stamp collecting.
Stuff is going up levels, people.
Spoon collecting.
Levels.
Ninja loved the game at Disney Infinity. Here's a minute of her experience with the Cars characters in that game.
And another one for me that surprised me and just how much I enjoy it was Disney Infinity. You know, I didn't enjoy Skylanders. I did not jump
There's
on...
There's a lot of people who love Skylanders.
That bandwagon... But I love Disney Infinity. Like, I spent time in Radiator Springs using the Cars playset and just spent some time, like, rearranging the city and painting cars and doing some races and, you know, just tweaking things and then swapping out and bringing different characters into Radiator Springs and having them play with different stuff in the toy box. And, like, I could see myself spending hours just laying out different... areas within the city in the play sets and earning things and races and whatnot for the toy box to equip people with. Like, it was so fun putting monster truck wheels on Lightning McQueen and then jumping into a race. Like, it really was just a whole lot of fun, and it surprised me. So I will definitely be spending some in-depth time with you guys on Disney Infinity, because you got to check that out.
The artist, Will.i.am, is no Fred Astaire, as is evidenced from this exchange in episode 337.
By the way, since we're talking about music really oddly, can we talk about that Power song?
Okay.
And how we were watching the music video of it for like a couple of days ago, fans, for those who didn't know. And literally, his whole orchestra, you know, like his whole choreography was literally just walking in ISOs. So, like, those dancers made out like fat rats for not having to do anything outlandish.
No, I mean, having to master those ISOs in time, because there's not a lot of trick photography.
Like, hey, Will.i.am, we know you're not a professional dancer, and you're not going to take the time to learn decent choreography.
No, Will can actually crump. Like, they...
Then why don't they make the bitch dance?
I think...
Fans to make him dance.
I think because Will has gotten to the point where he's like, hey, I don't have to.
I can pay dancers
okay?
to do the stupid
let me,
shit.
Let me tell you something.
Videos.
You get to a point as you get older where you're like, I could do this,
but
I don't
lay in bed all day and play LOTOR.
No, I don't have to do this in order to make the money. I can actually pay somebody else.
I can make a crappy album
Wait. The albums that actually.
No, I'm not talking about Will I Am in that regard. I'm talking because
I got a leaked copy of it, and I got to tell you, it's actually.
I'm not talking about Will I Am in that regard. I'm not because I like his work.
Yeah,
I feel like he found the wub for him.
Yeah, he found his inner wub on this album,
and that's fine. But I think it's just something very easily to address that we've got people in the music industry who realize that they don't have to put out good work for them to go platinum. They know that they can do just the bare minimum and even under the bare minimum of work.
Yeah, who in are their you talking craft. About there, Panda?
It sounds like Mickey and sounds like Minaj, kind of.
It rhymes with Mickey Minaj.
And this other dude who kind of sounds like Marake, him. And then there's this other guy.
Really? Because you've been starting from the bottom and being here all fucking week.
Yeah, I know. Because I can make fun of it because I'm at the bottom and I'm still there. I haven't gone nowhere.
I'm starting from the bottom and I'm still there.
I haven't gone nowhere. I'm just saying. And then, I don't even need to go into Lil Weezy. When you have a song called Bitches Love Me, and your music video is so disturbing because you're treating all the women in your videos like objects and not people, you have a problem.
Mayor Young is an X-Men fan, as he discussed in an episode in March.
So, yeah. As I've said before, mm-hmm. And as we've come to that piece of the show, Mayor, what shit are you digging this week?
You know, I'm a comic book guy.
Yes.
So, and I've always been a big fan of X-Men. Like that, my first real comic book was an X-Men comic book.
Mm-hmm.
So this past week, I'm digging all the X-Men books that came out. It was like awesome. Like literally, like I want to say like 8 or 9 X-Men books came out, and I was happy.
You went to a happy place.
Yeah, it really did, because I literally like sat there with a stack of just X-Men books and was reading like Uncanny Avengers and Uncanny X-Men. Ooh. And friggin' Gambit miniseries or I guess that's an ongoing series, actually. It's a Gambit, yeah, whatever. And all types of, like, X-Men legacy. And, you know, somebody that doesn't know comics is like, what the hell is he talking about? There's this many X-Men comic books. Like, that's just what came out this week. Like, and there were, like, 8 of them, so.
See, when I hear all different X-Men, I just think, oh, so all their costumes change. Like, 8 times.
You gotta remember, like, X-Men, you know, I mean, mutants, there are a whole bunch of them. Mm-hmm. And especially, like, there was a minute where they were, like, kind of going extinct, so they were under 200. But if you think about the fact that there's under 200 people, that's still enough for a lot of books. And so each one features, like, different groups. And so that's what this is all about, where it's not just the X-Men you know in different outfits. It's literally, like, you know, you have uncanny X-Force that has, like, Storm and Psylocke and Puck, the Canadian superhero dude, and, you know, Spiral and some other people in it. And then you have, like, Uncanny X-Men that has Cyclops and Magneto and friggin' White Queen and some other people in it. Then you'll have another book, like Wolverine and the X-Men, that has, you know, Wolverine, obviously, and like Kitty Pryde and some other people. So, yeah, each book features a different cast for the most part.
Oh, I learned something new today.
There you go.
The more you know.
Russ Devoto came on the show in February and talked briefly about biochemistry in comics.
Anyway, getting back to this, because I actually just got an idea for a question, and I wish I had talked about this a little bit earlier. When you're talking about Son of Black Slaw encountering, you know, this mirage of, you know, extreme grandeur villains, like these very illustrious villains, I'm curious to know if, you know, with him taking up this mantle, if we might see a resurgence or, like, an heir apparent to any of the villains that Black Slaw.
Absolutely. That is actually not to give too much away, but that is actually, when I get to the third story. Okay, in the first story, Deacon's going to tell, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but in the first story, you're going to learn of... And something that existed, well, that still exists today in the story. And it is called, I can tell you this, because, you know, it's not really spoiling anything, but I'm a big fan of acronyms. So I'm going to tell you what the I'm going to tell you what it is, then I'm going to tell you what the acronym is. In the past, okay, hot off the heels of the civil rights movement, okay, the secret agency was put together to make sure that, you know, everything continued to move forward positively, all that stuff, race relations, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. All right. And it was called the Bureau of Racial Oppression and Supremacy. Okay. Now, the acronym for that is called the Brothers. All right. Mm-hmm. But the twist is that it's all a bunch of white guys and not a single guy was black. So it's kind of humor there. So even within their ranks, they realize, wait, we need to get some, you know, we got to get some affirmative action in here. So they,
mm-hmm.
Right, exactly. So they kind of like Men in Black. They go out, they recruit. And then that's when they happen across ex-Marine Deacon Black. And then another gentleman by the name of Abraham Savage. And Abraham Savage and Deacon actually ended up being partners in the Brothers. Okay. Something happens. There's a falling out. Two men go their separate ways. One man fights for good. The other fights for evil. Simple story. Mm-hmm. It's Abraham Savage. That's
Mega Man. Yep.
Yeah, it's Abraham Savage who's going to, you know, be our main villain. And there's a nice little twist at the end of the first story that alludes to the fact that he might still be around. Him aside, there's going to be a whole bunch of other guys. Like, I'm going to have another gentleman. His name is going to be Graham Cracker. All right.
I like those with coffee.
I like them with peanut butter.
There'll be another gentleman. His name is actually a cop. He's a police officer. His name is Cole Mitchell. All right, and there'll be kind of a hint there that there might be a coleslaw. You know, there might be a coleslaw. So, yeah. It's crazy.
Food motifs because they're making me hungry.
The reason why there are food motifs is because Mason's father was, he was like the, I guess, the Thomas Wayne of food additives and preservatives. Okay. All right. Very prominent biochemist who dealt primarily with food additives and preservatives. Okay. So that's why there's a lot of food. Connotations in the story. It's because of that. And this, the name of his company Mason's father was Victor Vaughn. And the name of his company is Vaughn Food Tech Enterprises. All right. Mason will end up taking over this company. All right. And much like Bruce Wayne took over Wayne Enterprises. So you see, there are a lot of parallels to Batman. And I figured that would be the easiest and most relatable story to use. I didn't want to go the Spider-Man route because, I don't know, it just didn't seem to fit.
For one, which Spider-Man would you choose? Because we've got the Amazing.
Then there's that. Ultimate. Like eight of them, you know? Mm-hmm. I figured a Bruce Wayne character. Everyone can, everyone's familiar with the, you know, young guy turned vigilante. So, yeah.
It's an easy one to relate to, right? You know, you don't have to go through any explanation of how something became radioactive to bite them and infuse them with the power. We can all understand someone having a tragic event in your past that forces you to examine...
To reevaluate your morality and how to better...
Okay, we all, you know, have that moment. Like, you know, for anyone that's had something happen to a family member, you have that moment where you think about revenge or, you know, taking that higher road. And if you had the ability, you know, more people, I think, would take the road of, you know, revenge and then vengeance. Well,
you see the symptoms of social disease. And mm-hmm. You want to be the preventative. You want to be the cure.
Some people want to be the cure, and other people choose to ignore it and continue on with their lives. Yeah. And so that's an easy
relatable thing. You know, I have to suspend my disbelief to go, okay, a radioactive spider is going to bite me.
Bit me that I
and
didn't,
now,
like, kill when it bit me.
Right.
And now I can climb walls and be like a spider.
And be like a spider and shoot webs. So I'm going to make a Lycra costume and spin webs?
And drop down upside down and make out with girls.
Sometimes, and other times, I'm going to live with my auntie, who's old enough to be my nana, and mac on this girl, but I'm not really going to mac on her for a while.
I'm going to kill my first girlfriend by accident because I haven't mastered my abilities yet.
Finally going to figure it out, and then she's...
And then I'm going to find out I was a clone for the past 40 years.
Whoopsie!
Whoops!
Yeah, that's a little bit more of a stretch for me to relate to.
Right.
A little stretchy.
It's like dough.
Yeah,
and I don't like dough. I like finished products. And
right.
And
I like bread.
I do. Carbs is, like, delicious. But I really got to take my hat off to you, Ross, because as I read through, you know, the write-up on Indiegogo and, you know, looked over some of the panels that you sent over, I really fell in love with the product and the project, and I cannot wait for it to come to life. I'm really excited for you. I think that it's so well thought out that if you haven't patted yourself on the back or someone hasn't patted you on the back yet for really thinking something so completely through and delivering something that isn't just poking fun at itself, because it's really easy to do. You know, there are a lot of people...
slapstick humor every day.
You
do.
No thought whatsoever.
No thought.
But it's really easy to do when you take something like... anything that's seated in paying homage to blaxploitation, it's so easy to go down the road of just go over the top, mm-hmm. just get the laugh, poke mm-hmm. at yourself and not be serious, you know?
Right.
Like Pootie Tang, okay?
Oh,
I love Chris, okay? I love Chris Rock. When he did the skits on the show,
you
I thought they were really funny.
Directed Pootie Tang.
Yeah, he directed that. Wow.
And I love Louis C.K. I love Louis.
And Louis C.K. loves the blacks.
Okay, he's a great writer on Chris's show and has been a great writer in Chris's team for a long time. I have a lot of respect for him, but when you watch the Pootie Tang movie, like I have to turn my brain off to not think less of Chris, and because there's so much that could have been done with that.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that not every single piece that comes out has to be some thought-provoking, lead the nation forward type.
Let me leave movies
thing.
For my babies to be able to watch and feel better about themselves.
Right. It doesn't have to be that. I mean, Oprah and her people can take care of that. I'm sure that Angela Bassett has another project that she's going to be in and is going to make me feel mm-hmm. good about being a black woman.
Again.
That's cool. I'm down with that. Sometimes we just need a laugh. I think that's what Madea movies are for, but I'm not sure.
No, that's not.
Not people. Anyway,
I feel like there should be a college like course about dissecting Madea movies.
There's not that many light-skinned brothers that love Jesus that much.
That
and then in such great shape. I'm sorry.
I mean,
they're working out for Jesus.
I mean, that's a six-pack for God.
Dude,
you know, because God loves a six-pack.
Love him some abs.
And if they don't stop making the poor, dark-skinned, bald-headed brother from Law & Order a bad guy.
I'm sorry, Diary of Matt, he kind of had it coming in that movie, though.
he did.
In that movie.
But Andre Brower never has it coming. Why do you... You just... Dark-skinned men aren't all bad.
See, but that's why you have to watch the Tyler Perry movies that don't have Madea in them, like The Family That Prays.
No.
I like the Tyler Perry movies that don't have Madea in them.
Can't do it. Sorry.
Like,
I do. Didn't see Good Deeds, not gonna happen.
Ash Mom was like, they're good, and I'm like, I don't want to watch this, and she made me watch it. I'm like, alright, it's not as bad as Madea Goes to Jail.
Oof.
Come on. Come on, we were highlighting
Madea's
that the
Big Happy Family Union, which just was no happiness.
Madea, I know.
But, you know, for me, I enjoy things that are a little more thought-provoking, you know, a little bit
Alex
more
Cross.
That are in my... No.
I haven't even seen that
Mm-mm. Leave. Tyler Perry's in a class all by himself. It's over there in the corner. Leave it alone.
Okay.
Don't even poke it with a stick.
I won't.
Okay.
For episode 327, Ninja did a preview of the Tomb Raider game.
Unfortunately, I don't have a good gadget to talk about this week, so I'm just going to kind of pop back on March, because outside of BioShock, the next big thing that we're going to be looking at, I'm going to have to run through really quickly, because the following week it's just like, hey, here's some hot newness too.
I know.
Tomb Raider. It hits the shelves March 5th. I'm telling you guys. Because we've talked about this a bunch. And how excited we really have been for this new retelling. And frankly, I think reintroduction to Lara Croft.
Yeah.
I cannot wait for this game. It is very rare that I will pre-order and reserve a game at a GameStop. I typically will do stuff to get it delivered to my door. Because I get a lot of lazy in me.
You get a lot of ladies in you?
Lazy. 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 Not lady.
Sorry.
Lazy.
It sounded like you said lady. Like, I get a lot of ladies in me, so...
I mean, I'm every woman. Shaka Khan told me. And Shaka don't lie.
Nope.
Also, like, these hips don't lie. But anyway, Tomb Raider, what... Like... I could not put money down to reserve it fast enough. I really couldn't.
I get it. I'm just as excited.
Well, I mean, it's been such a long time since we've had a strong female lead that wasn't just an objectified lead. And before people go off...
Where she wasn't just tits and ass with a gun.
And before you guys go off on us, I enjoy tits and ass with guns and without guns. Just as much as the next heterosexual dude, as much as the gay dude next to him. We all love boobies, okay?
Boobies!
Boobies are awesome. I'm not saying that boobies aren't awesome. I like the jiggly bits in games, too. It's fun to ogle and look at and laugh.
I'm a fan of the wobbly bits.
I am a fan. But I also really want a character that I can align with. And for the most part, it doesn't matter to me if that's a female or a male. I just want a character that I think is cool, that I either would want to be like or hang out with. That's what I want when I'm playing an action platformer game. You know, it's one of the reasons why I love Nathan Drake, because he's a dude that I'd want to have beers with, because we'd had a great time and we'd close out the beer and he would just be cool.
And he'd be good to, you know... sleep with, too.
He would not suck to sleep with. I don't believe that he would. Okay, that would be cool. I really like this new Lara just because she seems like the kind of person that I would like to hang out with. Obviously, she's not old enough to drink in this
yet.
Game. So in
but
this
we
game,
know that she will become old enough to...
Well, with all the crap that she has to go through in this game...
She should
be allowed to drink.
At the end of the game, she should be given a golden flask.
Because the poor thing is just beaten and battered and bruised beyond belief.
And I'm not trying to say this because I like to see bitches. I don't even mean bitches. I don't want to say this because I don't want people to think that I like...
But you're going
to
say it anyway.
That I like to see people get hurt. But, I mean, we've always seen a very polished, collected Lara. And now we're going to see... how she came to be.
Right, because in all the Tomb Raider games that we've played, Lara has known how to handle a gun. She's known how to climb and scavenge and, you know, freaking hardcore parkour her way.
Hardcore parkour!
Out of a situation. Whereas this game is young Lara learning how to do all that.
And it's not even like a simulation. Like, sorry, bitch. Real life just got real hard for you.
It's real true trial and error.
Maybe you'll meet Jason from Far Cry and have an experience. Except you don't need a
towel. That's another game I gotta finish. I gotta finish that. I haven't finished that. I gotta finish that. But I'm really looking forward to exploring and learning with Lara how young Lara becomes Lara that I know. Or if she becomes Lara that I know, you know, because we are retelling the origin story of Lara Croft, Lara could turn into a
completely different character altogether.
You know, a different Lara. I don't want to say completely different because there are still things that have to ring true. You know, we got to get to the point where we're dual wielding guns, because if you're not dual wielding guns, then you're not Lara Croft. You know, we've got to get to the point where you're hardcore parkour and all over.
Hardcore parkour!
Okay, we got to get to those points because those are key things that make Lara Croft. But we could end up exploring with Lara and end up with a Lara who is more thoughtful outwardly than in, you know, because that's one of the things that Lara's always been, right? You know, as you, through other games, explored different areas, somehow Lara was already omnipotent and knew things about the area that you never understood how she knew that stuff. Like, you never had a level where she was just sitting in a library reading a bunch of books.
Well, I mean, when you walk through her house in one of the games, you literally see, like, a massive library.
Right,
like,
but she doesn't pick up a bunch of the books, and you don't have a whole level where she's just seeking out information and going through and learning.
Maybe she's, like, one of those bitches that once she sees something, like, brain muscle memory. What do they call that when, like, you can read something
and know it? Oh,
it's, like, it's something to do with, like, photo something. Like, your brain is, like, photo... I don't want to say genic because you're not taking pictures of your brain, but your brain is sensitive to once you've read something, you know it.
Right, but even at that, it's not like you've ever played a level in a Tomb Raider game where Lara Croft went and found, like, all the schematics for the pyramid she was about to go in so she could memorize where all the damn rooms were.
I think it's a matter of her intuition and, you know, and her cognitive abilities and her ability to interpret nature and stuff around her.
Right, but that's all stuff that you and your mind have had to make up. It would be really interesting to me to see that, you know, after this Tomb Raider game...
I'd like to be right. I'd like to be right about that.
Okay, I'm going to say that right now you're right about that. But what I'm trying to get at is I think it'd be really cool if at the end of this Tomb Raider game, Lara has some of that, but there's also more outward dialogue about what's going on in her head and how she's deducing things and how she's figuring it out.
As long as
there are
not moments where, like, she's clutching her head like, no! And, like, you see, like, pulses in her brain.
Oh, my God. Lara Croft can never be wimpy.
No! What is going on in my brain? Like, I can't. I'm giggling so hard right now.
Because that would never happen. That would not be Lara Croft. That would be something else.
Well, remember, she's not the Lara Croft that we...
Lara Croft can never be wimpy. Lara Croft can never be wimpy.
I mean, dude, in the freaking FMV we saw, she literally, like, you know, pulls a twig out of her side.
This is what I'm saying.
Like a boss.
Okay? A person that does that is not going to be like, oh my God, I have too many thoughts in my head.
And I don't have a journal to write them in. And my phone's not working. I can't Twitter update.
I really
hashtag
need to
I'm
this.
Screwed.
First world problems.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
So yeah, I'm crazy excited. I can't wait until March 5th. If you are planning to pick up Tomb Raider and run through it, let us know on our Facebook page. And we're just going to share our experience as we go along. We might even do some playthrough video. I've got the capture deck now, so we might do some of that. Just you know, levels that we have fucking fun with. Just make it happen.
So that's our show for this week. We hope you enjoyed it. You can always catch us at electricsisterhood.com or read our posts at egm.com/electricsisterhood or comment on our Facebook page at Land of Ash. For Ninja Sister and Pandalicious, I'm Siri and the sisters will be back next week.
Do you want to know something funny? I was cleaning out my car, and this is a tangent already, and we're already at the beginning of the show.
We're not even a minute in.
I was cleaning up my car, and I got to my truck, and I found a birthday card for our aunt from 2 years ago that I never gave her.
Wow.
And, like, I took it out of the envelope, and I'm like, well, I'm like, the sentiments are all right, so I'll just put it in a new envelope and give it to her this year.
Recycling.
Recycling.
I like that.
Nice job.
Nice job.
Perfect.
Is that regifting? Well,
it's not because she didn't get it.
She didn't get it in the first place.
To pass it to somebody else.
Right. Right.
But I like where you were going with that.
I'm trying to find the positive for you. So.
It is positive. I don't have to spend $349 on a new card this year.
You're a cheap bastard.
I'm all set.
You're a cheap bastard. I love you.
I'm good.
I mean, you're special.